Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Duffel bags from Jesse Brown's are great for people packing up to go somewhere, but also for those that are staying close to home. How's that? Sizes from 40, 55, 70, and 100 liters from makers like Patagonia are all on hand at Jesse Brown's. Check us out at jessebrowns.com for that duffel, the black hole duffel, whether it be going on an airplane or being a modern-day footlocker for students, campers, and dorm rooms. Pick a size and color, all at jessebrowns.com. The Carolina Outdoors is now in session. Come on in. The listening is fine. Bill Barty, your host each week on the Carolina Outdoors as we blast up and down the Eastern Seaboard talking about what we have in the states of North and South Carolina outdoor-wise. It's summertime, and it's a great time to be outdoors, and we're going to talk about North Carolina's Year of the Trail 2023 later on in the program. This is a full year of celebrating North Carolina trails. We're going to find out what trails are, because they're not just hiking paths through the woods. We'll get down the lowdown with that with a guest campaign director, Palmer McIntyre, joining us. But the Carolina Outdoors sometimes goes international. We're going to have WBT's own Ed Billick join the program. He's, of course, done plenty of hikes around the Carolinas and then some by himself with his wife and family. But we're going to talk to him about an international trip that he and the family took, his son and about 12 other people, to Scotland. So we're going to find out how special that was as we are looking forward towards Father's Day, and what a great time for Ed and to be with his family on a big trip. All of that and more. TJ, the DJ Boggs on that side, Bill Barty on this side. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors. If you want to learn fly fishing, then pick a date and sign up for a wading trip from Jesse Brown's. Our experienced guides meet you streamside with everything provided for the day. Rod and reel? Check. Waders and boots? Check. Flies and lunch? No. Not together, but flies to fish with are included in a streamside lunch, too. Let's learn to fly fish with Jesse Brown's. Summertime in our Carolina outdoors. What a great time to get outside and enjoy the scenes that are happening out there. It's also a great time for travel. Of course, the Carolinas being as beautiful as it is, but summertime allows vacation, allows us to get on airplanes, sometimes to go international. And that's what we're going to do on this segment of the Carolina Outdoors. Welcome, everyone. Your host, Bill Barty, here. And we're going to bring someone on who did a wonderful trip that we're going to find out about, but we're going to find out about the demands of the trip, not only geography, weather, preparation, but also traveling with family. And many of us this summer know how that is and are up for that challenge. But with that being said, let's bring him on. Ed Billick of WBT Sports and host of Carolina Focus is joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. Ed, welcome.
Bill, good morning to you, and it's a pleasure to be on your show this time.
Well, we love having you on. Of course, we have learned about your exploits on hiking trips with family. We've talked about you growing up, how you grew up professionally, and then what you do here at WBT as well. But Ed, on this one, we're gonna leave Grandfather Mountain, which is a hike that we did with you several years ago that you did with family. And many of the participants in this trip were on that trip, but this one was international, and international travel and travel in general is in the news. In fact, especially with air travel, because unruly passenger incidents on airplanes increased 47% from 2021 to 2022, an amazing jump. Ed, you didn't have any trouble on your flight to Scotland, did you?
No, not at all, Bill. Everyone was well-mannered, and it was an overnighter, of course, so a lot of people catching some sleep.
Well, I threw away the secret there, threw it right in there. A family trip to Scotland. Now, Ed, we're going to get into the details because Scotland is known for its challenging weather, cool temperatures, its lochs, its castles, and its tough geography. When you're going on a trip like you did, tell us how it started. What was the genesis of a billet trip to Scotland?
Well, my only son, Jason, who enjoyed Scotch whiskey, I don't know, many years ago, he said his favorite was Talisker. And as he was approaching his 40th birthday, he goes, "Dad, Mom, I'd like to take some of my friends and you guys, and let's go to Scotland and tour the country and enjoy that part of the world." And so for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, Bill, he planned this trip day by day by day. Now, he's a practicing real estate attorney in Austin, Texas, but I tell you, he has a future as an event planner because his attention to detail and how he mapped this out and how he engaged all, at the end of the day, there was 14 of us that went on this trip. And, you know, all the different hotels, the different stops, the different hikes. We had 14 days there. It was the beginning of May. And it was a great time of the year to visit Scotland. It's before what they have those midges. They're like the mosquitoes over there.
Right.
You don't want to have to deal with them in the late June, July. So he picked the perfect time to go. And after a year and a half, it all came to be. And I've gone back and reconciled his original plan. And I tell you, his detail and right on. It was just a wonderful experience.
So, Ed, was he always like this? This is very fitting because upcoming is Father's Day, and I don't know if he gets credit for putting this trip together for you and for the other participants, but what an awesome gift, not only for Father's Day, but also to spend time with Dad on a trip like this.
You know, and it was, Bill, and what's interesting for Jackie, my wife, and I, we sat in the back seat. I mean, he drove one of the four cars. My daughter and her husband drove the other one. And we basically kind of went along for the ride, if you will, because we just enjoyed his leadership, so to say, on
right.
making this happen. And, you know, we had seven castles. We visited nine distilleries. We visited a couple palaces, the Scone Palace, and I can rattle off the other ones. And then one of the highlights was hiking up the Old Man of Stour on the Isle of Skye. And that, I could probably talk for a good 5-10 minutes what that hike was like. And he was so passionate, took a lot of pictures, and he loves, like we shared here on the Carolina Outdoors, the Grandfather Mountain Adventure. This was one of the highlights of the trip.
Well, we're going to jump into a little bit about that because it is a big trip and it involves activity. I mean, of course, you're doing the good stuff, the distilleries, the castles, but you're also doing outdoor recreation with the touring, with the hiking. And, of course, Scotland is known for having tough terrain and challenging weather. Tell us about the preparation. We did have you in at Jesse Brown's, and thank you for that, because we were able to help in parts of the trip outfitting wise, like outerwear, footwear, travel clothing that helps make the trip more enjoyable. But tell us about that preparation, because it's not just jump on a plane and go. You were planning for hiking and hydration and being prepared for those challenges as well.
Well, you know, Bill, and thanks to your graciousness and really your coaching there at Jesse Brown's, I mean, a couple Patagonias, you know, the vest and the coat. And in Scotland, the temperature was a low of 48, maybe a high of 58, and always a threat of rain. And you outfitted me with a couple of those jackets and then some nice rain gear. And then those pair of hiking shoes, and you'll remember what brand they are. I don't have it with me. But those were precious, absolutely precious. The good news is out of all that time, it only rained for 1 hour when we were outdoors. The rains did occur during our transport or driving from one location to the other. But we visited the whole countryside. And to your point, you have to think about where you're going, what's the weather conditions, and how you best prepare. Because those lightweight apparels, I mean, you didn't have to carry around a lot of weight. You didn't have to keep a backpack of all different, different jackets and or pants and such like that. But getting prepared from a clothing standpoint is essential.
Now, of course, Scotland is the northernmost country of England, of Great Britain, just above England, and it's up against the North Sea, the Atlantic. But Ed, these lochs, it is famous for. Of course, we all remember the Loch Ness Monster. But did you get to go to any of the area lakes or the depressions there that they have? Whether it be
visited a lot of the lochs and walked the shores. Surprisingly, there wasn't much boating activity. We were at the Loch Ness where the monster was. Their gift shop was closed. They've really marketed. We thought we saw something out there, but I don't know if that was just us or one of us hoping we would see something. Yes, a land of lakes, a land of sheep and little baby lambs, two-lane roads that come down to one-lane road, travel in some scenery that you just can't imagine. And to your point, the further north you got, like up at the Isle of Skye, and on that wonderful hike we took, you're very far north, and at 10 o'clock at night it would still be light out when we'd come after having a dinner somewhere. 4 o'clock in the morning, the sun would be coming through the window of where we were staying. Because you're so far north, you're at a parallel across, like, as far north as the southern part of Alaska. So for that, it was very precious. And then the food, the selections of seafood. I had a raw seafood platter, which was just delicious. They have this soup, Bill. Don't know if you know of it. It's called Cullen Skink. It's right. Smoked haddock with potatoes and onions. It's like a chowder. And then the famous haggish, they call it, which is sheep intestine. Some of us in the group didn't want to try that. I sure did. I thought it was tasty.
Do we call that chitlins here?
Excuse me?
Do we call that chitlins down south here, Ed?
we do. But, the food selections, the seafood, the scenery, the lochs, so many sheep because the wool is such a big thing. And the people, Bill, the people, super, super friendly. I don't think I met one cranky person at all. The city of Edinburgh, which is one of their largest cities, the Edinburgh Castle. But I tell you, the famous castle that we went to was the Stirling Castle. And if you're going to Scotland, you got to go to the Stirling Castle. That's the area where Braveheart was filmed. That's the Robert the Bruce and William Wallace and the heroes from back in the 1300s, 1400s. I could go on and on, but there are certain places that you just definitely have to visit.
Well, and I think Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the author, and that story originated there as well in Edinburgh. So much to see. Ed, take us to the Isle of Skye. It is noted as one of the must-see places if you're visiting Scotland. What makes it so special? And tell us about that tour with your family.
Well, the Isle of Skye is one place, but then there's this other island. Well, that's where the Man of Stor is, and you need to take that hike and see these volcanic formations from millions of years ago. I got to show you some of the pictures, Bill. There, it was just an amazing. It's 2,300 up to the top and down. We got there early morning, like 6:30, and we got off the mountain around 11 o'clock or so. And then there's this place called Isla. It is an island into itself to the west coast. It is known for peat, where peat is used to flavor their whiskeys. I got 9 distilleries on there. It's a two-hour boat ride, or if you will, a ferry. And, Bill, they haul all their goods in and out because they don't grow much there. It's mostly whiskey production, I guess. And then the people in the towns. So there's 7 tractor trailers a day on a two-hour ferry that go and provide the supplies to the island. It's called Isla. And it was special, and it was unique. And then the food selections. And here's one other thing I think a lot of our listeners would love to know about. We went on a wild bird tour. It's called a wildlife tour on the island of Staffa. And these little birds, what are they called? The little puffkins?
Yes.
And they're the colorful little birds that burrow into the holes. And you can go right up to them, take a lot of pictures. That was a special part of the trip as well.
Ed Billick from WBT Sports, host of the Carolina Focus program, is joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. Ed, this is kind of like Weekends Unite with you joining us here. However, our listeners are listening to us, whether it be via WBT early on a Saturday morning, or maybe they're joining us via podcast. We're talking to Ed about his recent trip to Scotland, where he saw all of the sites. You've heard a little bit of it right now, 7 castles, 9 distilleries included. Before we get into some of those more in depth, Ed, tell us about the people. Of course, in the Carolinas, there are plenty of people from Scots and Irish heritage. How were the people of Scotland? How did they treat the group? And what interaction did you have with the locals?
You know, they, and so many, first of all, the folks that, you know, whether it be the wait staff or the folks on the street, or you just go up and talk to people, because a lot of folks from all around the world, but you could tell the locals, and they prided themselves in showing off their land, showing off their wares. I think there was one funny story. We were at a pub for lunch, and these boys, I don't say boys, they're probably men in their 30s, they were watching a soccer game. And we came in and said, "Hey, mates, how you doing?" And we said, "Oh, good. We're here celebrating my son's 40th birthday." So they brought us over and had a couple shots of whiskey and were just starting to sing songs with us and taught us some songs. And I mean, we're talking 11, 12 o'clock in the morning. And it was funny. One of the people in our party, he wasn't too amazed. He was, I guess, maybe checking on something at work. He was checking, sitting on and looking at his iPhone, Bill. And they go, "Hey, mate, we don't Google around here. There's no Googling going on. Let's enjoy the conversation. How about it, mate?" So I tell that story because it was pretty funny. But, yep, wonderful, wonderful people. Wonderful people.
Fantastic. Oh, it makes it all the more fun, especially when you are essentially on your tour put on by your son. That makes it even all the more fun. Were there any stresses? Of course, many of our listeners listening to the Carolina Outdoors are preparing for anything from a family beach trip to maybe a trip out west, maybe a dude ranch. Maybe they're going to Europe or Scotland. Maybe they're on tour that way as well. But were there any stresses that you share? Of course, I read the statistic about you know traveling via air these days, and that's been a stressful place in the airports. Were there any things that you would change possibly about the trip, stresses or something that could have been smoother?
I guess the one point that, and as you asked that, there are other little things or maybe nuances, but the little stress. And I incurred it because I'm his father and my wife his mother. They drive on the different side of the road. The steering wheel's on the right-hand side of the car.
Yes.
So first you have to, your brain has to readjust driving on the other side. And so you're driving on the left lane and cars are coming at you on the right. And oh, by the way, they're coming at you and the roads are narrow. They are some places very narrow. Like maybe I mentioned earlier, some roads are go down to one lane where you have to look far enough ahead and move over to let traffic. This is out in the countryside.
Right.
But what also was most challenging was the roundabouts. And, you know, thank God for Google or the Google Maps. Take the second exit off of the roundabout. So you first have to enter a roundabout. I say, okay, am I in the right and correct lane? Am I in the right or left lane? Which lane do I need to be in? And your brain has to switch. It took my son probably 2 or 3 days to get more and more comfortable. Yeah. But I tell you, a couple times we hit the curb on the left side of the car because some of these roads, especially in the little towns, there's curbs. So can you? How do you better prepare for that? I'd say go watch a YouTube video, better understand, be patient. And back to the people, Bill. They were very accommodating. Okay, they could tell that you didn't quite know how to drive on their roads, and they allowed for you to make mistakes. At least that's how I felt.
Scotland's known as a country full of its history, the culture, the beauty. You were able to enjoy that, but it's also known for its scotch. Ed, did your son help persuade you over to his favorite scotch, or did you have one in those 9 distilleries that you all were able to visit?
I'm not a scotch drinker. I've never really acquired the taste. I did after this trip. There were places, and for our folks that know scotch whiskey, Denison, Talisker, Tobermory, we were at Kilholman, the big three on the island of Islay, Lagavulin, Arbeg, Laphroaig, and in Lagavulin. There's this gentleman, Bill, who's been working there 50 years. His name's Ian MacArthur. And we went down into the basement where all the casks are, the barrels of whiskey. And for about 30 people, he put on a little demonstration. He's been there since the 70s. And he was, yes, entertaining, but also was a loyal employee of that distillery. And then I think the other one, the Talisker, where my son really wanted to visit, we sampled whiskey out of the cask. So it's cask strength whiskey. And which was pretty special, and they pride themselves, you know, in the quality and the workmanship. And then, and the one place that was most interesting was Kilhoman, where they grow their own barley. And we went into the warehouse where the barley was on the floor, 4 or 5 inches of barley, and how they were working the moisture content. And being an ex-Frito guy in operations, I enjoyed the family-owned place, and I enjoyed the process of how they make their whiskey. So that was impressive.
And this was about a 2-week trip.
14 days.
14 days, 2 weeks spent with people that you love and people that love you. What a better way to make memories outside of our Carolina outdoors by taking on the Scottish outdoors. We're glad that you shared the time and knowledge and the experience with us on this program, Ed.
Do I enjoy talking about it? And yeah, if folks have questions, they're going to go visit Scotland. You know, we all have some pointers. There's also a Facebook page. It's called Scotland Travel Trips, and it is loaded with just great information. Scotland Travel Trips. You just hit the join button, and you can get a lot of information there.
And you know what? I'm going to try to get some of those pictures, and we'll put them up in the liner notes for the Carolina Outdoors as well, and we'll also link over to this Facebook page, Scotland Travel Trips. Ed Billick, thank you so much.
Bill, it was a pleasure, and see you soon.
You got it. We will see you soon. That is Ed Billick of WBT and the host of the Carolina Focus, co-host along with Sharon Thorsland. You can listen to that early on a Sunday morning via the airwaves of WBT and podcast. I'm your host of the Carolina Outdoors, Bill Bartee. We're going to take a quick break, come back on the other side, and we're going to talk a bit about the Year of the Trail. And Jesse Brown's has what your graduate needs for the future. Hi, everyone. Bill Bartee here from the Carolina Outdoors saying that hot gifts at Jesse Brown's include Yeti mugs engraved with their name or monogram, a travel kit from Filson or Fish Pond, and duffels from the North Face and Patagonia all celebrate that student that's moving into the future. Help them celebrate with a gift from Jesse Brown's. Shop at jessebrowns.com, or better yet, visit us in the brick and mortar in the shopping district of the Charlotte region, South Park. In the outdoor world, we know the importance of trails. They enable us to see things that we wouldn't normally see. They allow us to get off the beaten path, exercise, appreciate nature. And for many, they provide a safe transportation path as well. Welcome, everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors, your host, Bill Bartee. I come in each week to break down different segments for your outdoor listening pleasure, and hopefully somewhere along the way you will be inspired to go take on your own adventure and enjoy what we have here in the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to learn a little bit about trails right now. For many of you, if you did not know, it is the Year of the Trail in North Carolina, and we have the campaign director, Palmer McIntyre, who's going to come on and join us and educate us on the North Carolina Year of the Trail. Palmer, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Well, we're excited to have you, and this is long overdue for us here on the Carolina Outdoors, and we're going to learn a lot about our state right now, but especially the trails in our state. North Carolina is known as the Great Trails State, but Palmer, 2023, I think, is the first time we've celebrated the Year of the Trail. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. It is the first time, it's the largest celebration of outdoor recreation in North Carolina's history, and we're the first state to celebrate trails at this magnitude. So it's an exciting opportunity for North Carolina. Other states are starting to notice and they want to do the same thing.
Well, of course, first Saturday in June, we had National Trails Day that was celebrated and is celebrated every year. How did this 2023 North Carolina campaign come about?
Well, it originated with the Great Trails State Coalition, which is a coalition of nonprofit organizations, local government partners, and industry partners that are advocating for state investment in trails, because North Carolina historically has not invested at a state level comprehensively in trails. Mm-hmm. And we thought that if we could come up with a campaign that would really shine the light on trails, that would be a good thing for North Carolina. We just really wanted to celebrate trails in a very public and celebratory way, to get people outside and trying trails and discovering our amazing landscape through trails.
Hey, you're talking our talk here on the Carolina Outdoors. That's exactly what it's about. But many people may not know the economic impact that takes place in North Carolina with trails. It's billions of dollars, I know that, and well over 100,000 jobs. Do you know what the economic impact is on trails and outdoor recreation, I should say, in the state of North Carolina?
It is $11.8 billion annually. And the thing about trails is that if you invest in trail infrastructure, you will experience a return on that investment that far exceeds the initial investment, if that makes sense. It has a very high rate of return. Just because it's infrastructure that is good for the residents there, but it also attracts visitors. And the thing we like to say is that, you know, a lot of our rural communities are trying to figure out what's next after the change from manufacturing. And not every community now is going to get one of those big battery plants or data centers. But, you know, we have such an abundance of natural assets in North Carolina that these small communities can create an outdoor recreation infrastructure economy, and that can help boost tourism, and it makes that place a great place to live, a great place for businesses. So there are so many ways that trails can be the backbone of a very vibrant outdoor economy.
Fantastic. Of course, here on the Carolina Outdoors, and we are powered by Jesse Brown's Outdoors over in the South Park area. So here in the city of Charlotte, we have a lot of different things going on. The Carolina Thread Trail is one trail that is an attempt to put the 16 counties of the Charlotte metro area together via blueways and trailways, where Jesse Brown's is. The Loop Trail is trying to do exactly what you're talking about in regards to bringing people in, whether they're visiting that area of town, but also to provide a place to exercise, but also transportation instead of having to get in your car to go from A to B in a certain area of town. You can just walk or ride your bike. Several others that we talk about, and we're going to get more into that with our guest, Palmer McIntyre, here on the Carolina Outdoors. But before we do, Palmer, what constitutes a trail?
Well, our focus has been on, or is on, muscle-powered trails. So any kind of trail where you're moving your body. So these will be natural surface trails and paved trails. You might hike, bike, walk, run, ride a horse. So we're also talking about paddle trails where you get in a kayak or a canoe on a body of water, a river or lake or so forth. So it's any kind of muscle-powered trails.
All right, got it. So it is not just this single trail footpath between two trees, as we were talking about in Studio D here earlier. It can be a paddle. It can be a bicycle. It can be paved. It can be gravel. It can be dirt. It can be all of those things. That's what a trail is.
That's right.
All right. You talked about rural counties. I went off on my tangent, as can happen here on the Carolina Outdoors, about Charlotte. But North Carolina is made up of 100 counties, many of them, most of them, rural. Tell us about that impact. How are some of the counties that you may shine a light on, a spotlight, if you will, that we need to pay attention to because of natural beauty or just opportunity for that county?
Well, I think it's both. And, you know, I think one of the things that counties and communities are starting to do is they look around and they say, well, what can we do with what we have? And we've seen this in a lot of different communities. I mean, take a look at like Randolph County, where they're developing the Deep River State Trail. Part of that was an old rail line that's been abandoned for a number of years. So there's an asset, there's some infrastructure there that they can invest in, develop, and it becomes a new asset for the community. Or like Rutherfordton, they're developing the Thermal Belt Rail Trail down there. Elkin is a city, a town in Surrey County at the foothills, base of the foothills, and they have developed sort of their identity around trails because they're at the nexus of the Mountains of Sea Trail and the Overmountain Victory Trail and the Yadkin River State Trail. So, they're recognizing that trails are a very strong attractor for visitors and for new residents to the community. And they've seen a lot of businesses spin off of that identity. So we're just seeing this across the state that communities are looking around to see what they have and what can they do with what they have.
Of course, it makes me think we talk a good bit about fly fishing here on the Carolina Outdoors. And Western North Carolina has Jackson County, which several years ago they helped put on and promote a fly fishing trail, which is predominantly a blue way, but it also includes many of the footpaths, providing access to fly fishing waters for trout that they have there in Jackson County. And I would say that's been a boom for that county in regards to tourism as people head for that county, Jackson County, to enjoy the geography and the opportunities that are there as well.
Well, have you heard of the North Carolina Snorkel Trail?
Do tell, Palmer. This is what the Carolina Outdoors is all about, education, and now we're going to learn about the Snorkel Trail. And does that counts as a celebration of the Year of the Trail?
It does. It is a new thing that's just been launched this year, and it's cool. The Wildlife Resources Commission is launching this, and you can go to their website or just Google North Carolina Snorkel Trail, and they have a lot of places across the state where they're just encouraging you to get your snorkel gear out, and you can see a lot of what's going on underwater, the whole aquatic system. It's a great way to understand how our waterways work ecologically.
Fantastic. The website that's celebrating the Year of the Trail in North Carolina is greattrailsnc.com. Our guest is campaign director Palmer McIntyre, joining us to talk about the Great Trails of North Carolina, because 2023 is celebrating the Year of the Trail. And with that being said, Palmer, you mentioned that other states are starting to pay attention. Are there rumblings for North Carolina to continue this campaign? Not that I'm giving you a whole nother job for 2024, but what do other states say about it? And then what does North Carolina say about moving forward with promotion and celebrating the trails that are in the state?
Well, the other states are starting to ask questions about how to do what we did. And so we have heard other states starting to think about they want to do a Year of the Trail in their own areas, like Pennsylvania, I've heard, is talking about it. But what's next for North Carolina is, Year of the Trail is short. It's only 365 days and it ends, but, we don't want the momentum to die down. So what we'll be doing is transitioning into really celebrating and lifting up the brand of North Carolina as the Great Trail State. So we'll continue this. The website will live on, and it will still be a resource for trail users and communities. But we'll be really living under that brand of we are the Great Trail State, because we have incredible trail resources in the mountains, in the Piedmont, and in our coastal area. You're never far from a great trail experience in North Carolina. You don't have to go far to find a great trail.
That's right, Palmer. So I'm going to go on a personal note with you, because you grew up in a place that was automatically beautiful, automatically had some wonderful trails. What did the trails of North Carolina mean to you growing up in Ashe County?
Well, it is such a special place in my heart, and I always spent time on trails, but I took them for granted. Mm-hmm. I never understood how they were planned or constructed, or I never appreciated that aspect of it. So I've learned so much more about it. It takes a lot of work to put a trail together. There's a lot of planning. There's the land securing and the planning and then the building and the maintaining. So, one thing is just recognizing the incredible contributions of volunteers across North Carolina that build and maintain our networks of natural surface trails. And, you know, part of this campaign really wants to shout out to them, because we wouldn't have our trails without all that volunteer work. It's phenomenal, really.
That is well said, and that's what helps the rest of us enjoy it. Of course, again, shining that light through the Year of the Trail helps celebrate that, and maybe that's one of the lasting legacies as this campaign will move forward next year and the years to come. Again, that website, greattrailsnc.com. What does that website offer? Because it will help us find different trails no matter where we are in North Carolina, whether we want to hike, bike, run, walk, paddle, equestrian. That website will lead us to the different counties and the different opportunities in those places. It also has, I guess, the access through All Trails or paddling.com. Is that where we go for everything if we're new to a hike or new to a paddle, where we can find that information?
Yeah, those are great resources to find trails. I mean, we just don't have one place in North Carolina that captures all the trails. So rather than hunting down each community or each state park, you can kind of go to these more curated places. So All Trails is a good resource. We're offering a promotion right now where you can get 3 months of All Trails Pro for free to all North Carolinians who sign up for the Year of the Trail newsletter. And that is something else that you can do on our website. If you sign up for our newsletter, you'll just get monthly updates on what's going on that highlight certain events. You can find events on our website. We've had more than 500 listed there, and they're organized by date. You could search by town or city as well. And then also the website is a great resource for local communities. There's a lot of tools and assets there that they can use to plan Year of the Trail events in their local areas. So the website is a tremendous resource. And our social media pages are also delivering a lot of content, too. So we encourage y'all to sign up for that or follow us at Great Trails NC on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. We have some great videos out there about trails in North Carolina.
And we're going to put this in the liner notes. Of course, our listeners joining us via the airwaves of WBT Radio as we blast up and down the Eastern Seaboard early on a Saturday morning. There are plenty of other people who join us via podcast on the Carolina Outdoors. We'll have links to at greattrailsnc.com, also to the social media handles. All of that will be in our liner notes. Palmer McIntyre, campaign director for the Year of the Trail here in North Carolina. Did we leave anything out?
I think we've about covered it. I mean, we just want people to get out and try trails. So if you've never tried a trail, give it a try. There's a trail for everybody, regardless of your age, ability, or where you are. There is something near you that you can try that will be comfortable for you. So we just want to inspire people to get outdoors.
These are our trails. This is our year, 2023, Year of the Trail. Palmer, before we go, where is your next trail adventure going to be?
Ooh, that is a good question. Probably up near our place in Ashe County, because I really love it up there, so in the high country. But I do a lot of trail walking of my dogs here in Greensboro, which is where I live now, and they're beautiful around our watershed lakes.
Well, that's a good answer, taking it home or being at home, either which way. Palmer McIntyre, thank you for joining us and talking to us about North Carolina Year of the Trail.
Thank you so much for having us on today, and I hope everyone discovers a new trail in North Carolina this year.
We're going to take a quick break, come back on the other side. This is the Carolina Outdoors. We want to see you. How about at Jesse Brown's Outdoors Facebook page, maybe Instagram? Both operate under the handle Jesse Brown CLT, and we want to see your hike, hunt, fish, climb, travel pics. We love to share and hope that you do too. Plus, giveaways, discounts, and celebrating our friends is a part of the charm. Again, Facebook and Instagram at Jesse Brown's CLT. So much to talk about here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're glad you're tuning in. Bill Barty on this side. We mentioned it talking about Ed Billick traveling to Scotland. Family trip to Scotland, big time. But Terry Castleman had an article in the Los Angeles Times with air travel recovering from the pandemic. They've got a new study out that identifies bad behavior among airline passengers, and that bad behavior continues to rise. The International Air Transport Association shows that unruly passenger incidents on airplanes increased 47% just in 1 year, 21 to 2022. That's from one incident per 835 flights to one incident per 568 flights. We all know what they are because you can see them on social media, the videos of a Karen attack or just unruly, drunken, mental crisis behavior happening. Though incidents of physical abuse often draw the most attention, the most common types of incidents were noncompliance, verbal abuse, and yes, intoxication, all according to the report put out by the International Air Transport Association. Other misdeeds included in the report were bringing outside alcoholic drinks into the cabin, failing to wear a seatbelt, and packing too much baggage. In fact, that just happened recently with some social media stars who were over the weight limit in their luggage. So do you know what they did? They took their clothing out of their luggage and put it on. They wore up to 15 layers of clothes, although the airlines still fined them for being overweight. Physical abuse incidents occurred on one in every 17,200 flights, which is a small fraction, but it was an increase of 61% over the prior year. By comparison, the odds of a person being struck by lightning in their lifetime are one in 15,000. According to the National Weather Service. So that is in the news. Bad behavior continues, and I don't think it's a surprise to many of us that do fly, and it's not a surprise to those of us that don't fly but are aware of what we see on Instagram, Twitter, all of the Facebook, all of those different places. On a lighter note, it's something to celebrate. We were excited to have Palmer McIntyre come on to talk about the Year of the Trail in North Carolina. You heard her put forth the challenge, which was to get out there and find a trail. There is a trail for everyone out there. And of course, all 100 counties in North Carolina are celebrating it because all 100 counties have a trail. Here in the Charlotte area, trails have been in the news. We talked about the Loop Trail, which is still being constructed in the South Park area. The Backlot Trail in many parts of the Greenway have opened up as well, so you can enjoy hiking, biking along the Sugar Creek and other greenways. The Carolina Thread Trail, which makes up part of the Backlot and the Greenway, Sugar Creek, and other greenways, is again connecting 16 counties in the Charlotte metro region. These are including Mecklenburg, footpaths, greenways, horseback trails, and others. In fact, one of them is included in Lansford Canal. We've talked about it several times on here because the spider lily bloom continues. I oftentimes mention it and encourage you to go down on a hike down at Lansford Canal, because not only will you learn about the history of that area, but you can see the world's largest bloom. To access more on that, you can go to Highlights of the Carolina Outdoors podcast. Just type in Lansford Canal or Spider Lily, and up that will pop as well. Again, special thanks to Palmer McIntyre. Special thanks to WBT's own Ed Billick for joining us talking about Scotland. And TJ Boggs, this is Bill Bartee. Say, make the Carolina outdoors a little bit better than you found it. And remember to pick up your trash.